Glory to God. Isn't God good? The further that you go in this life, you know, life just, it just circles back. You got new kids, new people coming into the earth all the time, trying to figure everything out. I'm so thankful we have the Bible. You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to learn by hard knocks. We can just say, God said it. That's it. I believe it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to obey Him. You don't have to learn over the decades and say, I wish I would have listened. As the proverb said, I wish I would have listened to correction. I wish I would have listened to my teachers. That doesn't have to be us. You know, and if we have made some mistakes, we can change. We can go forward and say, from this day forward, I am going to listen to God. If God says it, that's good enough for me. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. If He says it, His word is true. His word is light, it's life, and I will do it. And it will go well with us. Amen. Do you know all the pain in the world is because people disobeyed God? All of it, from Adam on, is because people did not listen to Him. All the pain and suffering in every part of the world is because people have been disobedient. We would not, this world is a fallen world. This world is not like God created it. But thank God there's redemption. Thank God Jesus came to undo what the enemy has done. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they would have life and have it more abundantly. We can listen to His word and have life more abundantly in every area. Our relationships could be dead in certain areas, but if we'll listen to His word, they can become alive again. Amen. Our bodies could be weak in different areas, but if we'll listen to His word, they'll be strong. If we'll agree with Him, they'll be strong. You may have walked in here and you feel weak in your faith. Well, there's a remedy for that. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right now, if you'll let it, faith will be quickened in your heart. If you feel weak, it's because you haven't fed on the word. And so what do we need to do? Just start listening to what He said. Just start acting on what He said. Don't be led by feelings. Don't be led by sight. Don't be led by what other people are doing. Just make up your mind. You're going to listen to God regardless of what other people are doing. Because His word's true. It's true in 2017 just like it was in 2017. 0017. Amen. It has not gone out of style. Hallelujah. So let's pick up where we left off here. Let's go over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. His word is precious. The longer I live, you see, He said He's right and He's right. If you know God said it, just quit arguing with Him. He's right. Don't try to figure out a different way. Don't try to find somebody else's book that says He's wrong. He's right. He's right about it, everything. He's right about everything He put in here. It's not outdated. There aren't mistakes. It's not contradicting itself. It's right. And time will tell that it's right. You know, anywhere we think it's fuzzy, it's because our understanding's fuzzy. We don't see as we ought to see. The Bible says it. We don't know everything. Hebrews 12, verse 1. We've been in a series for several weeks called Your Race. And this is our text that we started with, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy who was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation. Look on your sheet there. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So we've gone over different facets of this that we have. Number one, we have a race. You have a race. I have a race. We have a course to run, and it's unique to each person. In other words, you're not supposed to be running my race. You're not equipped to do what I'm doing, and I'm not equipped to do what you're doing. Just get it out of your head that you need to do what somebody else is doing. I don't say we don't learn from each other, but number one, look at the Word of God. Get what God is telling you to do for your life. Obey Him. You can learn from other people, but you don't try to copy people. You don't feel condemned because you're not doing what somebody else is doing. The Bible says not to compare. You have a lane that you're running in. You need to run your race, true, strong, but it's your race. You're the only person in the race. The only way you lose is by you taking yourself out. You saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do what God's asking me to do. It's too hard. It's just, I don't like it. And then you sit down. Well, there's nobody running in your lane then. But there's not 50 people in the lane. There's not 50 people in the race. There's not 100. There's one. You're running against yourself. You're running to do what he told you to do. We spent some time looking at the parable of the talents last week. I think maybe we'll turn over there really quick, at least to begin with. But you're responsible for what you're called to do. So we have a race. It's unique. The Bible says to strip off every weight that would slow you down while you're running. We spent some time on that. If it's going to hinder you from running your race, get rid of it, whether it's technically sin or not. Even if it's not sin, if it's going to slow you down, why you want it? You know, like we talked about, you know, these swimmers that run. I've never been a swimmer. I've swam. I can swim, but I'm not like a competitive swimmer. But, you know, you watch them in the Olympics. They shave everything on their body. They have those hats. What are they trying to do? They're trying to eliminate all the drag they can. Now, is it sin to have extra hair on your arms? No. It just is going to slow them down. It's not an immoral thing. It's not like somebody could say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you left the hair on your arms. You're wicked. No. It's just that the fraction of a second that it gains you, these guys that are running next to you or gals are trying to get every advantage. So it's not about there are things, of course. You know, if one of these guys decides to rob a bank right before they go to race, it might hinder them from winning that race. So yes, you know, if you do something wrong, it's not going to help them in the race, of course. But then there are things that they're not optimal to do if you're running, if you're in a competition. Now, the Bible said here, go down to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Well, before we go on, just kind of recapping. So we said we have a race. We're supposed to strip off every weight that would slow us down. It says that we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's our example. He went before us, and he did what he did because of the joy that was set before him, even though it was painful. We may come back to that. 1 Corinthians 9:24, though, look at this. We read this. Verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Excuse me. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not with one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So again, we're running this race. We're in this competition. Here he's saying, do it so that you win. Run it in such a way that you're going to win. And he said, these people are doing this for a perishable crown. I don't care if it's a gold medal in the Olympics. That's going to be burned up along with everything else. That's not eternal. I'm not negating its value. I mean, it's a tremendous accomplishment to win a gold medal in the Olympics, but eternally, it's going to be burned up. You can't take it to heaven with you. You can't walk into heaven wearing a gold medal. You can't walk into heaven, you know, carrying a chest full of all your trophies. But that's what he's saying. People do these things to obtain a perishable crown. They're disciplining their body. They're running as an athlete to do something that isn't necessarily eternal. 1 Corinthians 9:24 in the New Living Translation on your sheet says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself might be disqualified. So he said all athletes are disciplined in their training. They're doing it to win a prize that will fade away. Well, so going back to the swimming, you know, you don't have to shave your arms, but they're doing it in a disciplined way. They train every day. They try to get every advantage. Why? To win. But like an athlete, they're doing it. These athletes are doing it to win something that's temporary. And he's saying, how much more should we live our lives like that? We should live our lives disciplined, thinking about, is this thing, whatever it is in my life, is it slowing me down or is it helping me? Is it helping me to go fast or is it hindering me? You know, because honestly we think about, well, that's some athlete. Of course they go to all that trouble because they're trying to win the prize. But, you know, I'm just living life. I'm just going to work. It's not a big deal. That's not what the Bible says. In your race, in mine, what we're doing, what has God asked us to do? If it involves a certain job, in certain relationships, certain being involved in church in different places, we say, well, that's just church, or that's just my job. It's okay if I show up late. Is that the way somebody training for the Olympics is going to act? That's okay. Yeah, I started a half second after the shot was fired. Well, what's that mean? Well, you're going to lose. Half seconds in eternity when you're dealing with world-class athletes, right? You know, I mentioned a little bit Wednesday, but it's the first Sunday since the Patriots won the Super Bowl. You think they're all just, while they're going through stuff, just like, it's just the season, doesn't matter. This game doesn't matter. This play doesn't matter. You think that's the way people that are world-class athletes act? No, because everybody else that you're competing against is taking every play seriously, or ought to be. Well, that's them. They're training for something. I mean, that's a big deal, the Super Bowl. Well, it is a big deal. But this is exactly what Paul's saying. He's saying people do this and go about life like this for something that's a perishable prize. It's going to fade away. It's not everlasting. He said, how much more should we be acting like this? Let's look what he said. This is exactly what he's saying. Verse 24, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it. Why do they discipline themselves? Why do they run like that? Why do they put their body through that? To win a prize that will fade away. But we do it. What are we doing? We're running our race. What he's talking about. We do it for an eternal prize. He said, so I run with purpose in every step. Well, was he an Olympic athlete? Not that I know of. He's running as the Apostle Paul. Well, did he discipline myself? You read the Bible, the stuff he went through? Gotten beaten, shipwrecked, left for dead? And he got up and kept going. Why? Because he's running a race? No, he's not competing in a natural competition sport. He's running his race as a child, as a servant of Almighty God. And he's saying, this is important. I'm going to get up every day and do this. Well, thank God he did. We're reading his words. What if he would have just said, this doesn't really matter. Nobody's ever going to read any of these letters. People in Ephesus probably don't even read the letters. Now, why am I in jail for these people? They don't listen to me anyway. Forget it. I'm done. Huh? What if he would have done that? Well, God knew he wasn't going to do that. That's why he chose Paul. When he was Saul, he was wrong. He was trained, you know, in the ways of the law, and he was zealous, but he was wrong. He was killing Christians. But God saw something and said, this guy is going to go all out. He's not going to quit. And he called him to run a race, and thank God he did. He did what he was called to do. Now, not everybody was the Apostle Paul. Peter was not Paul. Peter had a different calling. Peter was called to the Gentiles. Even though he was a fisherman. Look on the outside, he's not as qualified as Paul. Why don't you send Paul? See, men don't think like God thinks. If you're going to look at the two people, you're going to think Paul surely is called to the Hebrews. He's been trained. He's studied with the best. He knows his stuff. Surely he's going to go and argue with these guys. He's the one to send. And Peter, fisherman, sailor, cussing, send him to the Gentiles. He'll be able to relate. Demographics. We need to, you know, fit the right person. That's the way men think. That's not the way God thinks. That's nonsense. That you don't determine the call of God by your natural abilities. God equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. Amen. I'm going to say that again. God, he equips those that are called. He doesn't call the people that men think are equipped. When people say, ooh, boy, if that person ever gets saved, they have such a beautiful voice. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Oh, boy, if this superstar, if they ever got saved, what a powerhouse for God. That is totally natural, carnal thinking. That is not the way God thinks. God is not impressed with somebody's voice. He will look on somebody's heart and say, that person, they will follow me. And he will equip them to do what they need to do. He's not impressed with somebody's... The Bible says that God is not impressed with the legs of a man. He's not impressed with the strength. Somebody that can run fast. You think that impresses God? Well, you're really fast. You haven't seen fast. You know how fast the speed of light is? 170,000, 75,000 or so miles per second. So in 1 second, the speed of light goes around the world 7 times. That's fast. Well, that guy can run the 100 meters fast. God's not impressed. Boy, you got to get him saved. He could really be a dynamic person. No. You got it backwards. God's looking on the heart. So, Peter and Paul. Now, he did it opposite. Paul tried to go to the Hebrews, kept trying. He said, all right, I'm done with you. Going to the Gentiles. God has sent me to the Gentiles. So, here this trained guy going to the Gentiles that don't know up from down in the law. And then Peter, fisherman. They're going to send him to the Hebrews. So is God right or is he right? He's right. So you don't look at what the person next to you is doing. But we run our race. Seriously. What you're doing right now, if you're a child of God, if You can be a child of God and not really be a servant of God. You can be born again, but not really be doing what you're called to do. People do it all the time. You're going to run your own race. You're going to do what you think. And then you know what? Then people find out. That's what I was saying, you know, before we started, after the announcements. People don't understand. I'm so glad we have the Word of God to know, to guide us. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to go take, assessments aren't bad, but you know, you don't have to go take an assessment to figure out what you need to do with your life. You need, number one, we need to go to God and say, God, what do you think? Because if Paul would have taken an assessment, he would have not been sent to the Gentiles. They wouldn't have said that's what he was qualified for, and they would have certainly not said Peter is qualified to go talk to the Hebrews. It wouldn't have happened. You don't go by those things. Those can give you some natural information. I've taken them, took them in high school, but you don't go by that. That doesn't determine who you are and what you're going to do. God, as a child of God, as a servant of God, we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And if he tells you something, you say, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Well, don't worry about that. Just be obedient to do what he's telling you to do today. He'll add what he needs to add, equip you over time to where you are fully equipped to do what he's called you to do in due time. You know, you look at today and say, how am I ever going to do that? But he's talking to you about something that's 40 years away. Don't worry, you get there. What's he asking you to do now? See, people think with their head naturally and not in relation to God. God's unlimited. He's limited only by how much we're going to follow him. It's just full of examples. The Bible is full of examples. Look at David. Anybody? I mean, even the prophet wasn't looking. He wasn't, when he saw David's older brother to come to anoint him, he wasn't thinking. He was thinking, this guy's it. Look at him. This is surely, the Bible says, he says, surely this is God's anointed. What's he looking at? The outward appearance. He's saying, surely this is it. Nope. I've rejected him. Go to the next one. Well, how about this dude? Nope. Go through all of them. You got any more kids? Because this is not, God says this, not here. Oh yeah, there's David. He's out in the fields with the sheep. Go get him. We'll wait. And when he came, the prophet said, this is the one. God spoke it in the inside and said, this is the one. Anoint him. And he anointed him. King of Israel. Now, did it happen the next day? No. But he had something. Did he run his race perfectly? No. He made some grave mistakes. He didn't have to make the mistakes. God is not condoning those mistakes. But he ran his race, and the Bible called him a man after God's own heart. Did you look at David? Was David the one? Oh, yeah, he's going to be king of Israel. No. He didn't look like it. You look at different people God used. You look at Joseph. He looked like an arrogant kid. He probably was arrogant. Didn't have some sense. Goes and tells all his brothers, you know, older brothers, I'm going to rule over you. Well, probably not going to go over well. And they tried to kill him. Thought they did kill him because of that. But look what he turned out to be. He wasn't there then. But God had him, he went through some things, and by the time it was necessary, he was ready. He was ready to lead and to be second in command in Egypt. But God does not think the way men think. Daniel said, I'm not going to eat what everybody else is eating. This is not lawful for me. But you give me what I'm supposed to eat, what the Bible says, what the law says I'm supposed to eat, we'll do better than all these other guys you watch. And he did. He said, I'm not going to follow the laws. I'm not going to follow these decrees if they go against my God. And he didn't. We'll throw you in the lion's den. Well, throw away. And he's still alive. God has a path. I mean, it's over and over in the Bible. God calls men and women. But it's not a joke. It's not a rehearsal. I like my pastor in Lincoln, he wrote that on one note. He said, this is not a rehearsal. He's writing me a note about something. He said, enjoy it, because this isn't a rehearsal. Our life is not a rehearsal. This is it. You get one chance. There is no reincarnation, just so you know. You didn't live as a mosquito last life and came back. This is it. We're running our race. Well, how can you know? How can you figure out what to do? The Word. Well, how am I going to know? There's so many. I mean, but it's 2017. There's so many options. This is a different world. God's Word still applies today. How am I going to know which way to go? His Word. Just do what He said. Do what He said in general, and do what He said specifically to you. And then we take it seriously. I didn't say legalistically. I didn't say you start acting like a robot. I didn't say you don't have any fun. No, quite the opposite. We ought to have fun. We ought to enjoy life, because Jesus enjoyed life. You think Jesus is enjoying life right now, or he's just so serious about the state of the world? If anybody has the responsibility or the ability to do that, I think God would be looking down going, oh my goodness. Wow. This is a mess. Huh? But he's not like that. God's not fretting right now. He's not stressed right now. So we're supposed to run, though, like it's serious, but not, we can't have fun. You know, I'm a serious Christian. Can't have any fun. No. We're supposed to run, though, like Paul is talking about, like an athlete, realizing that, look, if you're called to a job, then do it well. You're in school, well, I'm just a student. When I get out, then I'll start living life. No. Right now, your job is a student. You get the grades, you learn what you're supposed to learn, and learn at home, and learn what we're supposed to be doing. Well, I'm just in college. When I get out, then I'll make... No. You go to college to learn how to learn. A guy told me that when as a freshman, this guy was a senior, he was talking to a group of us, he said, do you know why you're going to college? Do you know what people expect out of college? What they actually, employers really want? Yes, you're going to get a degree. Yes, you're going to learn some skills, but you're really learning how to learn. Because when you get out of here, eventually your skills aren't going to be quite up to snuff. You're going to have to keep learning in order to be successful. Part of why you go get a degree, yes, there's technical things. You need certain special skills, but you need to know how to pick up more. But we need to take whatever we're at and realize this is the only chance we get to do what we're doing now. And if we know that we're serving God and we take it seriously, then there is no inconsequential position. There is no, I mean, could Joseph had said, what am I doing? I'm a servant in some Egyptian's house? And then I'm in prison, and I'm messing with the people, the guards, and I'm, you know, just talking to the different inmates. What in the world am I doing with this? He could have been like, forget it, man. I'm just never going to get out of here. This is stupid. But that's not the attitude he had. He became in charge of everything when he was in Potiphar's house. Potiphar trusted him, ran everything. When he's in prison, starts running everything there too. Well, that's him. He knew what was coming. He did not know what was coming. Well, I mean, he just, that was Joseph. Yeah, just like that's Tom Brady. Well, it's him. Well, how did he? I'm not going to go into talking about Tom Brady, but seriously, people say, well, that's them. Well, they just do that. Why do they do it? Suddenly they've decided this is important. That's what they're going to put their mind. Well, that's exactly what Paul's saying. If somebody, I'm not knocking anything anybody's doing. I mean, it takes a lot of work to do what those guys have done. But this is exactly what Paul's doing. If people can do that, and they're doing it for something that's important, but it's not going to be eternal, why do we approach our life, and why shouldn't we approach our life the same way and say, man, I'm getting up. What am I supposed to be doing for the King today? And I'm going to do it like I'm training for a race. That's exactly what he's saying. Well, you know, yeah, whatever. I know what you're saying. But man, I just have this job. If I had a real job, that's the wrong mentality. I'm just doing this. You don't understand. I mean, it's not anything. Okay. That's the way Joseph, what if Joseph would have thought that way? I thought I had this dream. I was in my father's house and then my brothers. Could he have been bitter? Did he have a reason to blame somebody else? I was doing well. I was in my father's house. And then my brothers, jealous, take me, sell me into slavery, almost killed me, leave me for dead. And now I'm a slave. Where is God? This is stupid. I was in my father's house, and now what am I? I'm a slave. And forget this. Where is God? God, what did he do for me? I just about got killed. And now I'm in some Egyptian's house. What am I supposed to do here? If I ever get out of here, I'll do something. But right now, forget it. I'm not going to do anything. Do whatever, just so I don't get put in prison. But I'm not going to do much. If I ever get out of here, I'm going to do something. But right now, Potiphar, whatever. I'm not doing anything. Why could he have not done that? He could have. What? He had an attitude that was different. He said, no, I serve God. I doubt it was just a bed of roses either. He had to get up someday. You think about his life. He didn't know. He didn't get to read the book of Genesis. He didn't know what was coming. He had to make a decision and get up and go, I know God. Well, where's God? What did he do for you? Well, evidently he had to deal with those thoughts and decide, I'm going to do what God has for me to do anyway. I'm going to run. I'm going to run like this is the Olympics. But I didn't have the Olympics then, right? It was before. But, you know, whatever that would have been in their understanding. I'm going to run like, man, this is it. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to do it well. Potiphar, you want me to do that? You want me to shine those or clean those dishes? All right, let's get after it. You want me to go dig that ditch? All right, that's going to be the best ditch digging effort you've seen. Yeah, but that's him. I mean, you know, whatever. You don't understand. I got this boss. I got this job. It stinks, man. It's just, there's nothing to it. It's not going anywhere. You thought being a slave is going somewhere? What hope did he have of that ever changing? A slave in those days? I mean, just property. Do whatever. I mean, he does the wrong thing, he'd be dead. Ask yourself the question, what hope did he have? This is somebody that's not born again, but just believes God. We talked about Paul. Paul is born again. But let's just talk about Joseph for a second. What hope did he have? Did he have any hope? Could he have just said, forget it. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to sit here. I'll probably never get out of here. Probably never going to change. I don't know how I'm ever going to do anything of consequence. Could he have done that? Could Paul, when he was in prison for preaching the gospel, could he have just said, what? I mean, I thought, I'm preaching the gospel. I didn't think I was going to end up in prison. What? I'm here? I'm bleeding? Are you kidding me? Forget it. Probably never going to get out of here anyway. Probably going to kill me. Could he have done that? Well, he didn't do that. What's he doing? Midnight. Praising God. He's treating his life like exactly what he preached then. If people are doing this for athletics, I can do it for whatever God's asking me to do. And it doesn't have to look glorious at the time. Does it? You guys going to help me with this or not? Does it? Did Joseph, did it look glory? Did it look like, yeah, you're this is definitely the career path to being the second command in Egypt. First step, get thrown into a pit by your brothers, almost killed. Second, become a slave in an Egyptian's house. You're there. I mean, that's definitely the second point to becoming second in command in Egypt. Huh? And then get falsely accused of adultery with your boss's wife and get thrown into prison is definitely the next step on the way to being second in command, right? Things could have been looking pretty good at Potiphar's house going, man, this isn't too bad. I mean, you know, I was a slave, but now I'm a high-ranking slave. I'm doing all right. Stuff's going all right. And then I get thrown into prison. Could he have been like, all right, you know, I became a slave. I put on the smiley face. I got in there. I've been working hard, and now I'm in prison. Could he have said, that's enough. All right, I'm in prison, and he could have been depressed, and he could have spent the rest of his life in prison and died there. Well, no, it was just the will of God. You have a misconception of the will of God. He uses people. He's not going to override. God is not just going to override people's wills. He uses us as we cooperate with him. Joseph absolutely could have sat there and done nothing. But he didn't. And I dare say the people, all of us in this room, don't have as bleak a outlook as what Joseph had at that point when he's in prison. Anybody want to raise your hand and say, mine is worse? The fact that you're standing or sitting in here, probably not true. Now, it might be in our head, but reality, we are not in an Egyptian prison with no hope. What happened to the guy that evidently Joseph was in prison with and got, you know, called up? He was killed. He did the wrong thing and he was killed. Well, Joseph doesn't have any hope. It's not like he's, you know, up for parole in a few years and like some of the jails we have today. I mean, this is not a good prison. But he got up and he was running just like this mattered, evidently. And maybe he had some to deal with some stuff in his head and get over it and say, no, I serve Almighty God. God can do things here. I don't care. I still, God showed me a dream. I believe it, and I'm still gonna to serve him. He may have walked it out perfectly. He may have some days where he's like, again, still in prison. Man, I thought I'd be out of this by now. But evidently, he ran it, and he took it seriously, and he did what he was called to do. And then one day, the call came. And all of a sudden, he's in a position second only to Pharaoh. But it didn't look like that. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to be second in command of something. But the fact is, he was on a path, and he took it seriously, even when it looked like there's no point in doing that. Why do it? So, we are all on. We're not running Joseph's course. Paul could have done the same thing, could have been like, seriously. Okay, I've been beat several times. These people stoned me. They thought I was dead and left me. Now we believe he was probably could have been dead, and they raised him from the dead. I've gotten beat up and shipwrecked. These people beat me with rods. I mean, how much can a guy take? I mean, I think I've gone pretty good, pretty well up until now, but, you know, this is too much. Forget it. But he said, no, God told me I'm going to stand before kings. And he kept going. Now, did he do it every day? Great. I don't know. His writings, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So that's what he wrote. Did he do it perfectly? I don't know. Definitely he ran his race. Thank God he did. But we're not Paul. We're not Peter. We're not Joseph. But we all have a choice right now. It's the same thing. Are we going to say, well, that's them, but they don't understand mine? See, that's a lie. If we say that, we're believing the wrong thing. Because God said, no, you run like you were an athlete. You don't beat. Look at what it said in the New King James Version, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 9:26. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. I'm not uncertain. I'm not just doing it like, well, I don't know. We'll see. Who cares, really? I mean, God's probably not going to use me for anything. Just working this job. Don't know if I'll ever get married, or I'm married and, oh, look how that turned out. Got these kids. I don't know how they're going to, you know, I mean, we can all just look at our life and say, just another day. But is that the way somebody that has a mentality like what he's talking about, like a champion, acts? Do they act like, well, it's just another day of training. It probably doesn't matter. Huh? You think Paul was just like, ah, it's another day. I want to stay in bed. Forget it. I mean, I'm tired of that. These people don't want to hear the gospel anyway. They've run me out of the last 15 places I've gone. They've beaten me up. I mean, seriously, I'm staying in bed. Think I've earned it. Could he have done that? Is that the way, but what is he preaching? Is that what he's saying we ought to do? Well, you know what? Some days, just stay in bed because it's better that way. You know, you've done a good job. Is that what he's saying? No, he says, look at these people that are training to win something. They subject their bodies to win a prize that's going to be burned up. We're doing it for something eternal. We should be doing it with purpose, not just playing around. Is that what he's saying? That's exactly what he's saying. Is that we are here, all of us. We say, well, it's just me. No. Anybody could say that. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything big. How do you know? What? We have the Word of God. And what is big anyway? It's doing what God told us to do. If you're doing what the Commander-in-Chief told you, what bigger thing is there? Well, I want to do something important. The God that created the universe asked you to do something and you don't think that's important? Well, you know, but it's just this small thing. Any number of people could say that. Joseph could have said, what? I'm serving God, but I'm in the prison. But he didn't think that way. The Bible says the Old Testament, those are given for examples for us to look at and say, this is what I ought to do. He said, I'm not just shadow boxing, he says in the New Living Translation. He goes, I run with purpose in every step. I do what I'm called to do, and I do it like it matters. If I'm going to have this job and I believe it's what I'm called to do, then I'm going to do it well. I'm going to do it in excellence. If I'm going to be a parent, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. If I'm going to serve in a capacity, I'm going to do it well. I'm going to do it as unto Jesus. The Bible says to do all that we do as unto Him, not as men pleasers, not as trying to look good, but doing it as unto Him. He didn't ask us to do what someone else. I'm not so and so. See, this is a mistake people make. They say, if I were in a certain position, then I'd start trying. Do you know that's not true? Well, I mean, I get late to work or I show up late for this, but you know, if I were in a big position, then I'd start showing up on time. No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't. We wouldn't do that. We're going to do exactly what we're doing now. Well, if I were playing in a big game, I mean, then I'd be training. No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't. We wouldn't train. We wouldn't do different. We're living exactly now based on the way we're understanding and the way we think. And it's right there we got to change and say, today. I mean, we could walk out of here today with a whole new view on what it is to live the Christian life and say, you know what? I'm a child of God. He's asked me to do something, and if I don't know what it is, my first task is I need to find out what he's asking me to do now. I don't say I need to have the next 30 years of my life mapped out. I need to know, what do you want me to do now? And that's what I'm going to get to doing, and I'm going to do it well, and it's important. And that means today, right now, is very, very, very important. When you walk it out of here, it's not just like, well, you know, whatever. It's just another day. I'm going to go and go back to my normal life. No, tomorrow, well, it's just Monday. It's whatever. No, it's important because our days are numbered, whether we know it or not. There is a number. It might feel like it's a big enough number that they don't matter, but they're numbered. Every day that goes past is one less. It's going like this. And we only have so many days. And they're all important. And you know what determines what we're going to do with them? Us. How we react right now. We can say, oh, it just doesn't matter. We can say like Joseph, like Paul, like Peter. No, it matters. Today matters. I'm running my race. I'm not going to do it just purposelessly. I'm not going to do it like I'm just messing around. I'm serious. I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to do what I need to do. It's important now for him. Amen. Praise God. Would you guys get anything out of that? I got something out of it. Hallelujah. It's a lie that something isn't important. You don't know how important today is. Huh? It's important. We're serving him. We're running a race for the Almighty. He's got good things in store for us right now. We don't even know the things that he has around the corner. Hallelujah. We don't know what's coming, but we know he's good. We know he's a good God. If we'll just serve him, do it to the best of our ability, do what he's asking us to do, that's the best path. Because let me ask you, if he asked you to do something, is there anything better that you could think up that would be more profitable, better than what the Almighty asked you to do? He already figured it out what the best path is. And he said, son, daughter, do this. Well, but I want to do this. Yeah, you're not ready to do that. Do this. And we'll get there. We'll get there. Just do it today.